O my merciful Lord Chaitanya, may the nectarian Ganges waters of your transcendental activities flow on the surface of my desert-like tongue. Beautifying these waters are the lotus flowers of singing, dancing, and loud chanting, Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai, of Krishna's holy name, which are the pleasure abodes of unalloyed devotees. These devotees are compared to swans, ducks, and bees. The rivers flowing produce a melodious sound that gladdens their ears. So, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, you can detect from this verse that he is very, thank you, very humble. He feels himself that he has no qualification to narrate or speak about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So here is a begging for the mercy, thank you, from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this is like a pilot light is leading all the Vaishnavas who are interested in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, is making them understand how to approach the topics of the Lord, Lord Krishna or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and how to narrate those topics with humility. He himself, he feels he has no criteria, he has no faculties to speak about Lord Chaitanya, to narrate the Chaitanya Charitamrita, but he's invoking for the Lord's mercy that maybe a few drops of nectar will fall on his tongue like a desert. Of course, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is very humble soul, great Vaishnava. We know that he considered himself even a load and a worm in the stool. Is he a worm in the stool? No. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is actually a Manjari, it's close associate of confidential associate of Srimati Radharani. But all those great personalities, they come to teach us the mood that we should imbibe to attempt to preach about Krishna. We should always consider ourselves devoid of anything. There is nothing really that really belongs to us. The power of speech, the power of seeing, the power of walking, all these things are given by the demigods. And even the ability to be intelligent, the ability to understand, the ability to discriminate, that's given by Krishna. Krishna says in the Gita, Aham Mrijendra Ham Manusya, I forgot the verse now. That he says that I am the ability in man, amongst the beasts I am the lion, and of the best of men I am the monarch, and of the austerities I am the japa. So, is the ability in us. When we speak, we collect first some thoughts in our brain, and then we project these thoughts through the sound vibration, and that becomes an expression of what you are thinking, an expression of the heart. But actually that ability is given by Krishna. Of course, we can say that even when we do the wrong thing, the ability is from Krishna. No, the ability is given by the demigods according to the karma that we deserve. If you have performed some good deeds, then you will be conditioned by good behavior. But if you perform some sinful activities in the past, then you will be conditioned to be a fool in your next life, to speak like a fool, to speak without any intelligence and discrimination. And that is why you have the good and the bad in this world. You have the poor and the rich. You have the duality of life. You have the peaceful and the agitated. You have, according to the karma that we architect in this life, it will determine our future behavior. So when we say the face is an index of the mind, the behavior is the activities are the index of our behavior, are the behavior surrounding the bad habits, for example. They are surrounding the soul. And that's why we call someone a conditioned soul. He's conditioned by bad habits. The soul originally has not bad behavior, but it's just conditioned by his bad karma to behave in a bad way. And if you want to know the heart of someone, the speech is actually the projection of the heart of a person. You can tell if someone is good or bad by hearing the speech of that person, the way he talks. Even in the Gita, Krishna says, a transcendentalist is recognized by the way he speaks. Of course, also the way he walks, the way he sits, the way... So the power of speech is very important. Thing in the world for human beings. The power of speech, it could be constructive, it could be destructive. The whole material world has been built by the sound vibration. Lord Brahma, what was the first thing did he do? Did he move his hands to create the world? No. Was he thinking? No. Was he, what he was doing, he was instructed by Lord Vishnu to perform the tapasya, tapa. And he gave him two words, tapa. So from this tapa, transcendental sound vibration, the whole material world began. So just as like the sound vibration is the origin, or is the source of this material creation, so similarly is also the source of entanglement. The whole prison house has been built by Lord Brahma through sound vibration. But similarly, the same sound vibration can be the cause of liberation, as it says here in this purport. If they were to use their dry tongues to chant the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare, as exemplified by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they will taste the sweet nectar and enjoy life. It doesn't just give a liberation, but we also taste the nectar that we are always looking for, and we enjoy chanting the names of Krishna. The whole sense gratification for the soul is actually in the holy name. Everyone is searching for happiness. But like the other day, I think it was a Sutta Prabhu who was mentioning that the soul is feeling very much the need to become satisfied and to be happy, but then we use the wrong device to become happy, which is the body, and the body has nothing to do with the soul. It's very, it's a common sense, it's a logistic to understand that. If you won't become happy spiritually, then you have to perform spiritual activities and engage in spiritual sound. Whereas if you want to become happy with the body, then you engage in bodily activities, sensual activities. There is a sensual happiness, there is a happiness derived by the mind, sentimental happiness, there is intellectual happiness that we can derive with our intelligence, like the scholars, politicians, diplomats, you know, they enjoy very much, like Prabhupada says, yeah. The tongue is like a desert, and people mistakenly, they try to derive, you know, a few drops of nectar, the transient pleasure derived from a mundane topics of art, culture, politics, sociology, dry philosophy, poetry. This is all pleasure derived by the intelligence, the mind. Someone who is a little bit more cultured than a sensualist. Do you have a word, sensualist, in English? Then he elevates himself to be a little bit more polished, like politicians, scientists. They, through the via media of their knowledge and their tongue, they feel some happiness with their intelligence. And then you have another, if you are a little bit more intelligent, then you try to derive some happiness from the soul, like the impersonalist. The impersonalist, they try to merge with Krishna. And in this way, they derive some kind of satisfaction. It makes them feeling that I am God. And Krishna gives that feeling. He's very liberal. He's not egotistic. If you want to be God, he gives you the feeling to feel yourself as a God. Why not? But we do not stay in that conception for a long time, because then at some point you become bored, because there is no rasa. There is no real deep pleasure for the soul, because the soul has to relate, communicate. Why a person gets married? Because he likes company. A woman likes the company of man. A man likes company of the woman. And then they still feel bored after some time, so they have to have some children. So the seeking propensity for the soul is a relationship. And then after children, you know, you have parents as well, and friends. You have your country, your social group. Like there are devotees, sometimes they come here not just to see Krishna, but also to enjoy the association, the relationship with other devotees. And this is a need for the soul to relate. So the impersonalists, they don't have that. Because they isolated themselves, they become free from the cage of Durga, namely the three modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance. But they imprison themselves from another cage, which is isolation. Sorry, I've got a very bad sciatic pain in my leg. Sometimes I feel just like a cramp comes in my... So where was I? The impersonalists, they engage them, they create their own cage of being isolated. And there is not conception of God. They even forget about God because, you know, they realize that they're God themselves. So therefore they feel higher than the materialistic people. And that's fine. Krishna gives them that feeling. And in this way they experience a little bit of dry happiness. But the propensity of the soul is to love somebody, relationship. So therefore, when we understand that that there is somebody next to us in our soul, in our heart, and that's the Paramatma, that's the very first understanding of the impersonalist. When we come to the temple, we are flooded from material desires. We're coming from a materialistic platform. Then at some point, we come into a Brahman stage. We understand that we are spiritual. But that's not enough. Then we have to understand, you know, that there is somebody close to us, and that's the Paramatma. And then higher than that is when we understand that there is a Bhagavan, Lord Krishna, and Bhagavan is the full aspect of the spiritual conception of God, and his devotees, the spiritual world, and the devotional service. So here Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is actually praying to Lord Chaitanya to for some power to narrate the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Srila Prabhupada did the same thing. This is, you could see, the path of the Mahajan. Wherever a Mahajan does, the followers, they will follow in the same line. Srila Prabhupada, he also prayed in the same way, make me dance like your puppet. And Krishna was dictating to him the teachings that we have here in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the purports, and also the purports of the Bhagavatam, the purport of the Bhagavad Gita, all the writing that Srila Prabhupada performed. If you ask Srila Prabhupada, did you do that? He will say no. It was Krishna dictating to him. So that's Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is when anything good we do, we give a credit to the Guru and Krishna. And anything bad that we do, we give a credit to our karma. So the soul is by nature innocent. We can either be influenced by karma or being influenced by Krishna. So we have a choice. it is not that Krishna is holding us by the neck and says, no, you behave in this way and don't go into Maya, serve me. Krishna is not like that. He's not a dictator. He's not a tyrant. Krishna, he conquers the free will of his devotee just with his democratic mood, with his love. Krishna, he loves us if we perform sinful activities. He loves us if we turn to him to devotional service. He loves us if we negate him as a person and try to become him, impersonalist. In any way we behave, we are his children, Ahambija Pradapita. That's Krishna. It is not that he has an avengeful mood, that if you don't serve me, I will punish you. Krishna is not like that. That is the the thing that attracted me a lot to come to Krishna consciousness. I, being brought up in a Catholic environment, I was always forced to pray. You know, I was, if you don't pray, if you don't confess, then you'll go to hell. So that's the way the nuns, the priests, they would educate me. So I grew up for 10 years in a monastery with a fear. Fear even to tell the truth. You know, I had a habit, which I'm not ashamed to say now, of passing urine in the bed when I was a young boy, you know, because at a very young age I was put in the monastery by my parents. And I remember when I was a young boy, my mother, she used to, in the night twice, you know, she used to take me to the toilet, and in this way the bed was dry. But then in the monastery there was nobody to do that. And I would wait the bed, and I wet the bed for about 4 or 5 years, from up to the age of 10, 11. And I remember the children, they were punished for waiting the bed. So every Sunday we had to confess in all our misdeeds. And I remember one time I told the truth to the priest, and he had me punished. I confessed that I wet the bed, you know, and to treat, you know, all the bad things that the children they do. And today I was swearing, so I confessed. But I remember once the father superior, he understood that I told the truth, and he chastised this priest by saying, you know, that the way you punish them, you encourage them to become liars. Because a lot of the children, they would wet the bed, but they wouldn't confess it. And they wouldn't tell anybody because they didn't want to be punished. So, anyway, why am I going in that route now? But the, yes, the way that I was brought close to Jesus was by force. If you don't do this, you'll get punished. If you don't pray, you go to hell. And but when I came across to Krishna consciousness, I felt that Srila Prabhupada was very liberal. The pure devotees are very, very liberal. They come out of their comfort zone to preach to us. And if we listen to this message with our heart, then we are saved. If we don't, then it's very sad. It's not that they force us to become Krishna conscious. A preacher, he mold the people in the way into Krishna consciousness, but without breaking them. That's a preacher. Like one of my favorite story that I read in the Lilamrita was that when Srila Prabhupada was riding the upstairs here at the manor, he was writing one of the letters, or anyway, was writing something, and two of the devotees, they had an argument that they came into the room. I can't remember. I think one was Kishore and Kulashekar. I don't know if he was a Kishore or maybe somebody else. And one of them came in the room and he said, "Prabhupada, is it true that you said that he just told me that just by following the four regularity principles and chanting Hare Krishna is enough to go back home, back to Godhead?" And Prabhupada, he put his head down and he stopped writing, and then he looked at those two devotees and he said, "Yes, of course. Do you think I would cheat you?" Prabhupada said, "Do you think I would cheat you? Of course you go back home, back to Godhead." He said, Just by following the four regular principles, chanting Hare Krishna, it's enough to go back home, back to Godhead. You don't have to do anything else. But then Prabhupada said, "What to speak if you, both of you carry on distributing my books? Lord Chaitanya will come personally and he will pull you out of this material world." Now, if we understand very deeply the mood of Prabhupada, it is not that many of us, we join Krishna consciousness and we take prasad, we associate with devotees, we follow the four regulative principles, we chant Hare Krishna, and then we grow up with this conception, I don't have to do anything else. Prabhupada said, I can go back home, back to Godhead. So I'm very happy. It's not that Prabhupada is vengeful. You know, if you don't preach or if you don't do anything to help my mission, you'll go to hell, just like the Christians, they do, they say. He said, yes, you go back home, back to God. So that means there is a liberal mood of a pure devotee, and that's the mood of Krishna. You don't serve me, I love you. You serve me, I love you. Of course, I love you more. Krishna will come personally to pick up the devotees that he gave his life to go out and preach. So this was the mood of Prabhupada. And I was very attracted to this type of mentality. Because usually, if you do something for me, then I'll do something for you. It's like a trade, a business. But with Prabhupada, it was not like that. You could come and take advantage of this Hare Krishna movement. You could just come and take prasadam. You don't even have to follow four regulative principles. Just come and take prasadam. Then something is better than nothing. It's better to be a materialistic person, unfavorable to Krishna consciousness, than coming to the temple and being favorable and take prasadam, and carrying on breaking the principles. Which one of the two is better? So, but more than that, if you take prasad and you start to chant, so something is better than nothing, but of course more is better than something, right? It's so more we do for Krishna, and more he will reciprocate with us. So when we talk about more, it means when we understand, you know, that everybody is suffering outside there, and there is work to do. Prabhupada came to the West. He didn't just come to build temples. He didn't write a books and just for us to read and that's it. But he wrote the books for the to free the conditioned souls from these four major miseries, like old age, disease, birth and death. For everybody. And it's obvious that if we want to help Srila Prabhupada and understand the mood that he came to the West. Of course, we heard this many, many millions of times from sannyasis, from all the grihasthas, from the books. We heard it many, many times that, you know, preaching is the most efficient way to please the acharya, to please Lord Krishna. But are we doing it? This is the question. Hearing is something, but putting it into practice. So giving the holy name to people, going out in the street, give them prasadam, give them books. We don't have to be great philosophers. We don't have to be a great devotee to do that. We don't have to be a sannyasi to preach. Very often we're missing the most simple points of Krishna consciousness. The most simple point is to take up ourselves Krishna consciousness and to give it to others, to preach. That's jiva doya. Being kind, being merciful. Here, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is in Vrindavan. is already tasting the nectar of the holy name and the association of the other Goswamis. So there was no need for him to do anything else. But he did something to help us, to narrate the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So in such way that today, me, I am sitting here and repeating those words, and you are hearing those words from Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. And wherever punya, wherever benefit that we derive from this, is all thanks to him. So we owe a life of gratitude to this Acharya, Srila Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Gopala Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. Lord Chaitanya, he instructed them to write books. He knew that the world, you know, is like a dry desert, and they need a few drops of nectar in the form of these books, because they contain the treasure of Prema Bhakti, Krishna Katha. They contain the holy name of the Lord. So how important is to get a box like this that contains the message of love for Krishna and put it in the hands of someone who is unfortunate. So every time we go out and we give the holy name to someone, or a piece of prasadam, or a little book, or preach a little bit to somebody, you are actually becoming very, very dear to Krishna. So I'm not saying that because I'm in charge of book distribution. Usually people, they use their position to promote my service is the best. Like usually temple presidents, you know, like when they meet in Mayapur, there's a temple president meetings, there's a GBC meeting, the guru meetings, sannyasi. Usually they, you know, they think, oh, temple residents are the best devotees, you know, they're the best managers, they're a book distributor, you know. So someone is a neophyte when he thinks, for example, you know, if I think that everybody should go out and distribute books, the whole world should go on book distribution, that means, you know, I'm a neophyte. So a temple resident, you know, is thinking like that. The whole world should manage. Or a GBC could think, you know, the whole world should become a GBC. Good people, expert like me. No, that's not the way to go forward. We can do wherever we are the best at, but as an additional thing, we can preach. Like Govinda Prabhu goes out on Harinam every Saturday. That's wonderful. That's actually book distribution. Pramanava Prabhu goes out on books and preach. And we understand that some of the ladies, they're getting hooked up by the taste of book distribution. And you could find, you know, the happiness, the few drops of nectar that Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami is talking about here, they're put on our tongue directly by Lord Chaitanya. Every time we make an attempt to preach to someone, what a satisfaction. You meet someone that he never knew anything about God. He's been tortured. He's been chewed up, spit out, licked up by Maya, by the moods, by the family, by the government. People, they're, you know, they're tortured at every minute. And when you go to them and you give them a little something about Krishna, what a relief for them. It's something very unusual. All the demigods, they stop what they are doing and they just watch. My goodness, that person has been for millions of lives, of births, suffering. And today, this particular second, he's been given a book by that particular devotee. How merciful is that devotee? Not just the demigods, 33 million demigods, but also the whole spiritual world. They will see, because from the top you can see everything. The Vaikuntha Loka, is supervised closely by Goloka Vrindavan. Whatever is going on in Vaikuntha Loka, the gopis, they are conscious because they are in Goloka Vrindavan. And whatever is going on into the Chartusloka, these 14 planetary systems in this universe, material universe, is actually seen by the Vaikuntha Loka. And whatever is going on into the heavenly planets, of course, in Vaikuntha they see everything, all the movements of all the demigods. And whatever we are doing ourselves, the demigods, they're watching us. So we are observed by Krishna, by all the demigods, at every moment. So what a wonderful moment when you give Krishna consciousness to someone. That moment is more precious than billions of lives of austerity that we perform, performed by yogis, billions and billions of lives of a jnani who has been studying the Vedas but without helping anybody, and billions and billions of an austere ascetic, someone who has been naistiki, brahmachari for billions of lives. Okay, so what? He's becoming very pure, very exalted. You can become a Durvasa Muni, the power of your austerity. But what benefit are you doing to others? But you can have, you know, a fallen, hard-working donkey, householder, that goes out there and gives a message of Krishna to someone. That person is more special in the eyes of Krishna than all these demigods, you know, yogis, jnanis, and so on and so forth. This is not a sacrilege for me to talk like this, but it's a reality. That's why Krishna himself, he says in the Gita, there is no one that is more dear to me, and will never be anyone more dear to me than someone who is preaching my glories to my devotees. He doesn't even say to materialistic people, he says to my devotees. So, because everybody is part and parcel of Krishna, but we don't know, we see them as materialistic people, and we see ourselves as a devotee. We stereotype things, you know, we see everywhere we go, this is Chinese, this is American, this is African, this is a Christian, this is that, but actually we don't see that the soul belongs to Krishna. It's just unfortunate that they find themselves in that particular box or body, but by our help, they can become fortunate and reach the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thank you very much. I'll stop here. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai, Sri Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami ki jai, Sri Prabhupada ki jai, Tai Gaur Premanande, Hari Bhava.